Well, good morning and welcome to our final mission status briefing for the Space Shuttle program. With us today to discuss everything that has transpired during the overnight hours on the eve of Atlantis's landing is the entry flight director, Tony Tsukachi. Tony?
Thanks, Rob. That's a lot of pressure, the last there. But good morning, everyone. Thanks for showing up here. Let's see, as it's been the entire mission, we had a very busy and successful flight day 13 morning on board Atlantis. The crew readied both themselves and the spacecraft for the return home. See, the crew woke up 8:30 last night, Tuesday night, and hit the ground running, as typical as an mission minus one day. The commander and pilot first completed the pilot ops, the application, laptop application that they can practice landings on. And as soon as that was completed, went into the flight control systems checkout, and all the systems checked out very well, ready for entry tomorrow. We also did a reaction control system jet checkout, and all 38 jets, primary jets that we checked out, operated nominally. See, we also during the day we did a L-1 comm check using MILA down at KSC, and that all went very well. See, of course, throughout the day on the end of mission minus one activities, the crew performs a cab and stow and just continues to get the vehicle ready for landing. Let's see, additional activity we did today, probably saw the Picosat deploy, call it the jack in the box, but basically it's a little satellite that has its own maneuvering capability, and it'll perform some miniature tracking vehicle experiment. That all went really well. And also on the satellite, they have a little digital camera that they were going to take pictures of the orbiter as they were deployed. So hopefully once they contact the ground station, they can get those downlisted and we can see what they look like. As far as the activities that the crew is going to complete later on today, they have a L-minus comm checkout at Dryden down at Edwards. Make sure all those lines are in, up and ready to support if we ever need them. And also the KU antenna stow. See, the crew goes to bed about 12:30 p.m. This afternoon, and then they'll wake up later on 8:30 for their entry day. See, as far as entry day activities, you guys probably already got these times from Kyle, but I'll go ahead and repeat them again. The orbit prep will begin about 11:50 tonight. Payload bay door closing is going to be about 1:10 Thursday morning. Let's see, as far as the first opportunity we're shooting for is a KSC Orbit 200, and that TIG is going to be around 3:49 Central Time, with a landing at 4:57 a.m. Central Time, 5:57, of course, at KSC. The second opportunity is KSC Orbit 201, and that TIG is 5:25 a.m. Central, with a landing at 6:33 Central, 7:33 at KSC. Let's see, we already showed the ground tracks. That was great. So let's talk about consumables and the strategy. Well, I'm sure all you guys have been following pretty closely, but the weather is looking very promising tomorrow morning. The latest forecast we received, you know, of course, everybody was talking about Tropical Storm Brett a couple days ago, but that's moved northeast out in the Atlantic and is not going to pose any problem for the KSC landing weather. See, tomorrow when we come on console, there may be some showers in the vicinity of KSC, but the weather guy said those will clear out pretty quickly, and we'll anticipate it drying out and having good weather that morning. Let's see, right now the forecast is few at 5,000, scattered at 25,000, very good visibility, and winds, very low winds at coming out of the 240 direction, 4 peak to 6, and just breaking that down, that's across a 6 and a head and tail of 1. Let's see, end of mission or end of mission plus 1, same forecast for KSC, but we have a really, really good shot to come home tomorrow morning. Of course, I say that, but you've heard me say this, no matter what the forecast at KSC is, it's always 50-50, so when we come in on console tomorrow, we'll go ahead and see what the weather guys have for us and work it accordingly. As far as orbiter consumable strategy, we do have consumables to support out to End of Mission Plus 2, which is Saturday. Based on all that, right now our entry strategy is for tomorrow we're just going to try KSC only, just because the weather's looking very well there. If for some reason we can't make it home tomorrow, Friday will be a pick'em day. Basically, that is we'll just take a look at the KSC weather, Edwards weather, and possibly Northrop weather, see how that looks, and we'll for sure come home on Friday. Let's see, just a quick observations that we had this morning at KSC. Very good obs. They were all go. At deorbit TIG, it was few at 1,300, few at 6,000, scattered at 30,000, and the winds were very light. And at landing, same observation. So again, today looked pretty good, and we expect the same for tomorrow. Let's see, and that's all I had, Rob, to report, so I'll take any questions.
Okay, we've got questions here in Houston, Tony, and a number of reporters on our phone bridge, so we'll start off here. Robert?
Okay.
Hi, Robert Perlman with CollectSpace.com with two questions. First, given that you have consumables, and I know we heard the crews call down earlier today saying they'd be happy to land in day or night, but if the commander were to call down tomorrow and say the weather's solid, let's go for a day landing, would that affect your decision to wave off for the first rev?
No. Okay. You know, I know that everybody's looking forward to that, but you really don't know. You guys all know the KSC weather. And any minute it can change. And if you have a good opportunity, you're going to take it, no matter if it's day or night. So, you know, you heard Leroy talk yesterday. It's just, you know, whenever we have a good opportunity, you never pass it up, because you never know what that next opportunity is going to give you. So I would say that even if the first opportunity was forecast go, that's one we're going for.
And I saw on the TV schedule that you're playing to deliver some closing remarks to your team after Atlantis is down on the ground. Can you just talk a little bit about what you've been doing to prepare for those remarks, if anything? Or have you written them, or are you going to just speak from the moment?
No, I've written them down because I wanted to make sure to capture that moment I had all the right words. And I know that I'm not the greatest person doing speeches, so I wanted to make sure I had it written down and made sure I, again, captured everything. It's a very historical event. But, of course, my first and utmost thing is to make sure I get the crew home safely. But then after that, we'll sit down and give some closing remarks to the folks.
Phil.
Philip Sloss with NASASpaceflight.com. A couple of questions. Could you just run through the forecast for the other CONUS sites for Edwards and Northrop?
Let's see. Edwards is basically sky clear for the next 2 days. The only, and on Northrop, I think it was End of Mission Plus 1, there is monsoonal weather coming in there. There's going to be some showers within 20 or 30 miles. So, again, we'll just take a look at it and see how it goes.
Thanks. And then I had a question about the timeline for today. Pre-flight, the crew talked about this day having pretty much no light space, and of course during the mission they've been getting way ahead of the timeline frequently, and so again it sounded like today they jumped into the pilot ops and then the flight FCS checkout, and it also looked like there was some light space on the board even going into today. How would you assess the crew's work capacity on this flight?
They're very motivated. They want to make sure that this last mission is a complete success. And, you know, when we talked about a pre-flight, they just said, you know, we're going to keep pressing. We're going to do, work as hard as we can because we want to make sure it's a success. You know, last night we put them to bed a half an hour early, and they woke up at half an hour early. And, you know, we plan things for them. You know, they have a 2.5 hour post-sleep they had today. Well, they decided that instead of, you know, getting all their post-sleep in, that they wanted to press on with the pilot ops and just get ahead of the timeline, and that's what they did.
Okay, time to go to the phone bridge. We have a number of reporters lined up, and we'll start off with Marcia Dunn. Marcia?
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Yes, Tony, there were some moving words this morning from space down to mission control, not to mention a poem. And I'm wondering your feelings as you heard all that coming down, you know, poetry, moving words from the crew. I know, you know, you still have landing to focus on, but surely you must have been feeling some sentiments at that time.
Well, you know, I don't think you'd be human if you didn't feel something. And every time you feel something, you have to remember that, you know, this thing's not over yet. But I'll tell you what, I know, Marsha, you guys have been asking me this, man, since 132 about, you know, the end of the program and how you're feeling. And basically, you've given me the opportunity to say something here, and I have it written down to make sure, again, that I don't mess this up. But let me go through this real quick, and then I'll answer the rest of your questions. Let's see. Well, as they say, all good things must come to an end. Let's see. For me, it's been an unbelievable journey on a magnificent flying machine, and I'm very proud to have been part of the shuttle team. I've been blessed to have supported STS-1 as a flight controller and have the honor to be the entry flight director for STS-135. So you can see I've been here for a while. My congratulations and thanks go to all the thousands of dedicated and passionate team members who have made the shuttle program the success it has been and contributed to the legacy that it leaves behind. It's because of their blood, sweat, and tears that we can say mission complete. It's time to celebrate this amazing accomplishment and look forward to the future. Godspeed to all. So that's what my thoughts were about this, and I'm sure at post-landing we'll have some additional things. But you guys must know that we do have a motto in the Mission Control Center that flight controllers don't cry. So we're going to make sure we keep that.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Next up is Denise Chow.
Hi, thanks. I'm Denise Chow at space.com. Over the past couple of days, I know the flight dynamics officer has been sort of reworking various flight leads and landing time. I was wondering if you could explain the main things that go into how they decide what the landing time will be. Thanks.
Well, let's see. The main influence from tweaking them a couple minutes here and there was the SEP-3 burn that we performed this morning to get it set up for the PicoSat deploy. So they were just determining the right delta V and, of course, raising the or basically lowering the orbit, and that's just going to change the TIGs for the deorbit burn. And that was the main influence of that.
Okay, I think, excuse me, next up is Leo Enright.
Thanks, Kyle. I don't really want to push this too far, but I'm still not clear why you can't land on the second attempt tomorrow. Being from television, I'm interested in pictures. And I wondered, can you explain a little bit more why you're so adamant and Leroy was so adamant yesterday that you take every opportunity? Is this a major safety issue? And if I could, just a second brief question, whether people in Central America will be able to see the shuttle as it re-enters in the morning.
I'll answer your last question. Yes, they'll be able to see the vehicle as it comes over with the, trail of plasma coming behind it. I'll answer your first question is, you know, I always think about, you know, about walking a mile in a man's shoes. You know, you sit at the entry flight director console, and there's a lot of things you have to worry about. And worrying about, there's a lot of different things you have to worry about, making sure the vehicle's in a good config, making sure you've got the crew. And you step back and look at this, and as nice as it would be to land at the daytime to you know, get some very good pictures, you never want to give up an opportunity. It's just like, you know, hey, let me just, you know, this is not a good enough setup for me or whatever. I want to wait to here. And then you, I mean, like I talked before, you've always seen the KSC weather just get worse, even though the forecast is, hey, it's going to be sky clear and, you know, no wind. So when you're sitting at that console and you have the opportunity to come home, you take it day or night. So, you know, I know a lot of folks want to see this, but, it, you know, again, it's just you when you have that opportunity and it all looks good and it's safe to come home, you do it.
Okay, Bill Harwood is next.
Hey, thanks, Tony. I'll ask you yet another reporter emotion question, but maybe in a slightly different way. You know, the ascent entry team in Mission Control has really been the tip of the spear through the history of manned spaceflight in this country, and they're all going to walk out that door tomorrow for the last time. And it's not clear to me anyway whether you'll ever have or even need a team like that again. What are your thoughts about that on the eve of this final landing? What would you say to the team? What do you say to the country about a team like that and its end?
You know, our hope is that this is not at the end. You know, everyone keeps asking the crew, us, that question. We know there's going to be a rough spot for a while, but we hope that when we do get a good plan, a good direction, a good mission, that we can come back in here and do what we've been doing for the past 30 years and for the shuttle and, you know, the years before that with Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo. You know, it's tough to think about that, you know, all this experience, you know, all these years of experience walking out the door without using it. We have high hopes, Bill, and we're going to continue to look towards the future and hope we can utilize all this experience that we have.
Thanks, Tony. Good luck with entry.
Thank you, sir.
Next up is Mark Corot. Mark?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to see if you had any updates on the TPS survey from yesterday, if it all still looked good.
Let's see, Mark. When we were on console, the TIC folks did report that they completed 100% of all review of the imagery. Nothing stood out at that point in time, but of course they got to go through their standard process, speak with the management team and such, and I think that's earlier today that they're going to come back with the final assessment. But we did know that they completed it, and we're just standing by to see what the final report is.
Okay, thank you. And I had a weather question as well tomorrow for Florida. It sounds like the forecast is basically the same for both landing opportunities, but I wanted to make sure if that was your sense of it as well.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Okay. We have Irene Klotz on the line.
Thanks, Rob. Tony, did the landing time change again now? Is it back to the 5:56 from yesterday's 5:57? Did I hear that right?
No, it's still around 5:57. And, I mean, it's rounding up.
A couple of seconds short of that.
Yeah, yeah, rounding up to that.
Okay, so main gear touchdown is still 5:56 and some number of seconds?
It's 5:56:58 right now, Irene.
Yeah. Okay.
I just round up.
Thanks very much.
I round up because that's too many numbers for me.
Tony rounds up. We round down so you don't miss anything.
Yeah, and the editors do something else, so just want to clarify that. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. You're welcome.
Gina Sinceri is next. Gina, are you there? Okay, I don't think we have Gina on the line anymore. Guess not. Any questions back here before we close? Robert?
Just hi, Robert Perlman with CollectSpace.com with just one follow-up. You mentioned a tradition of not crying in mission control. There have been other traditions in the past of on landings of American flags or cigars or other things like that. Do you have any plans to pass out anything to your team?
Right now, no. You know, of course, we can't smoke in the control center anymore, you know. And but I think one of the things that I'm going to try to do is, you know, again, it is a historical moment, but we still need to make sure we get this crew safely off the vehicle and we get the crew safe for handover to KSC. Once we get that complete, I think one of the things that I really want to do is get the entire team up in the flight control room, the white ficker, and just have us all sit there, soak it in, and just watch the crew walk around and congratulate on each other on a job well done.
Okay, I think that wraps up all of our questions. We'll close with a few programming notes. The STS-135 Ascent Imagery Highlights replay that you've been seeing over the last day. We'll have two more replays of that at 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Central Time. As Tony mentioned, the crew begins its sleep period at 12:29 p.m. Central. Our flight day highlights begin at 2 p.m. Central Time today. We're on Rev N as in Nancy of the TV schedule. The crew will wake up at 8:29 p.m. Central Time tonight to begin deorbit preparations for the final landing in Space Shuttle program history, and we'll make history together. That's it. Stay tuned. Thanks a lot.